All of a sudden, none of my computers will start. I have two computers, and none of them start all of a sudden. No battery power. It's weird. I don't understand it. Do I understand it? No. And I have a handy-dandy, slick little lapel microphone. It's not working either. Thus this, and this. So watch out. And my fuzzy microphone on the end of my phone stands to fall out every minute. It's nobody else's fault but my own. That's all right. Show must go on and it will go on. I got some great information for you today concerning 1 Corinthians 6:12. But first, I'd like to tell you this. Some people send me packages. I don't know how people get my address, but I'm glad they do. I don't give my address out publicly. I should, because I love getting surprises in the mail. Well, I got a surprise from Greg Sobel the other day. It was a box about this big. And I'll be honest with you, folks. When I first see a box coming in the mail from a subscriber, a viewer, a friend, a fellow believer, I start to salivate. Because I'm always hoping there's food in it. Some kind of snack. People have sent me popcorn and nuts and oatmeal cakes and boxes of raisins, and I start to salivate when I see a package. So I open this package from Greg Sobel, and first thing I see is Smokehouse chicken chips. Ah, I was so hungry for something salty. Smokehouse chicken chips. This is gonna be awesome. So I opened the pack as quick as I could, and I ate a chicken chip. Well, it wasn't good. It was really dry, and it tasted bad, and it must have been stale. I don't know what happened. I said, well, I'll just have to tell Greg that it was delicious. And then I kept looking in the package, and look what else I saw. Cigars. Christoph Cigars. Greg Sobel. I said, people are so good to me. And there was a check in there, too, to help with the work. It was incredible. And then I saw this letter. I'm going, oh, wow, a letter, too. This is so awesome. Greetings, Martin. I have really enjoyed how you finished out September. The Armor today, the Armor of God show, was especially great to hear. Hope all is well with you and Charles. Something to enjoy with your whiskey and a little something for Charles to chew on. Keep standing, Martin. You help a lot of us out here. Keep going. As something for Charles to chew on. Then I looked at the Smokehouse chicken chips. There's a picture of a dog on it. They're dog treats. Dog treats. It says that right up front, dog treats. I didn't know they were dog treats. I took one. I was so excited to eat chicken chips. Smokehouse. They must have a smoky flavor. Mmm. Be careful, folks. Read the packaging first. So thank you, Greg. That was a very gracious gift. I haven't given any to Charles left yet. I sort of felt like trying another one, and the second one I tried was better than the first, and I'm thinking, not so bad. These chicken chips, not so bad. You know, I had pork ribs today, and for lunch, I called Uber Eats. I do that maybe once a week, and Uber Eats brought me some pork ribs. And I thought, you know, Peter could not have eaten these pork ribs in a good conscience. They were unclean to him. I mean, he would have quaked to see them, and to eat them would have seared his conscience. His conscience would have bothered him. He was breaking the law of Moses. Yet today, I ate these pork ribs with gusto, with no guilt whatsoever. My conscience was completely clear and clean, and it was a miraculous thing, really. And it just tells you that God does different things at different times. It reminds me of the verse, whatever a man thinks is sin, to him it is sin. So, I mean, unless something is stated to be a sin, like having sex with a horse, or gluttony, idolatry, then, you know, there's gray areas, and it's up to your conscience, and up to you and God. And Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom Christ frees us. And I'm living in my freedom in Christ. I'm living it. I'm enjoying it. I'm thanking God every day for it. I can smoke a cigarette. I can drink whiskey. I can do everything is bad for my health in totally good conscience. But actually, I'm finding that nicotine has been sold short. Nicotine is actually a wonderful substance that actually helps distance athletes. So I've been smoking more and my running has improved. I run 8 miles every day and it's getting better and better. Cigarettes increase your blood hemoglobin. Not even kidding about that. And we all know the health benefits of whiskey. Look it up. I'm serious. Look up the 10 health benefits of whiskey. So I'm flying high here, except for none of my computers work. I can't charge them. A picture of a battery comes up with a little lightning bolt inside, and then it looks like it's going to do something, but then it doesn't start. And it's happening with both my computers. I can't explain it. So here I am on my phone. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All is allowed me. This is Paul. All is allowed me. Many people ask, what does Paul mean by that? This is what he means. All is allowed me. Period. All is allowed me. Another version says, all is lawful to me. Everything is lawful to me. What does Paul mean by that? He means what he says. And unless you understand the truth of justification, you will not grasp all is allowed me or all is lawful to me. You just won't grasp it. But it's a fantastic truth, and it goes in with Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees us. And so how does an ex-Pharisee come to the place where he says, all is lawful, all is allowed me? It's the last thing you would expect a Pharisee. Perhaps an ex-Pharisee, but not a Pharisee. Paul is an ex-Pharisee, thank God. The Star of Bethlehem has fallen below the tree level, but it's still there. The only way anyone can grasp the truth of all is allowed me is if they grasp the truth of justification. Justification is, we are declared righteous by God. Now, the opposite of being declared righteous by God is seeking to establish your own righteousness. Paul mentions this in Romans chapter 10, talking about the Jews seeking to establish their own righteousness. They were not cognizant, not aware, not acquainted with the righteousness of God. The only way you can be righteous is if God imparts it upon you. And he does it to us through the blood of Christ, as I explained a couple weeks ago. And because of that truth, your sins aren't even really sins anymore. They're all justified. Everything is justified in your life. You're righteous. And so only then, on the tail of that, on the coattail of that, can you say, in the way this works out in life, let's put it that way. The truth is, we are justified by the blood of Christ, Romans 5. That's the truth. And the way that works out in life is that all is allowed me. And immediately someone will say, yes, but my, and not all is expedient. Oh, you want to talk about expedience? Oh, well, that's a completely different topic. Why didn't you tell me you wanted to talk about expedience? Not all is expedient. It's not always good to do everything that's allowed you. That's a completely different topic. But here's what people do. They take the all is expedient and they use that. They take the not all is expedient and they use it to cancel out all is allowed me. But see, it doesn't cancel it out. It doesn't cancel out the truth. Same thing happens in Romans 5. Romans 5:20 says, where sin increases, grace superabounds. Maybe that's 5:21, yeah. And then in the first verse of chapter 6, Paul says, should we be sinning then that grace may increase? May it not be coming to that? So people take that second part, should we be sinning then? Since grace increases, where sin increases, then let's sin more to get more grace. Paul says, no, don't think of it that way. You can't think of it that way. It's not a good way to think about it. But people think that cancels out the truth that where sin increases, grace super exceeds. It does not cancel out the truth. It's so tempting to make that cancel out what was just said. Same thing is happening in 1 Corinthians 6:12. Same thing. People say, all is allowed me. All is lawful. There's nothing unlawful. But not all is expedient. Oh, not all is expedient. That means that now there must be some things that are not good for me to do. Some things that are not allowed. There are some things not allowed because not all is expedient. That's not true. Everything is allowed you. Do you understand that? You must see that. But no one can see it who has not first grasped the truth of justification by faith. You must grasp that truth. And if you don't, You'll never get to the place where the rubber meets the road. And this makes me really happy. Makes me really happy. Now, of course, there are obvious sins mentioned in the scriptures. We should avoid those. But they're lawful for us to do. Why? Because we're justified by faith. And I gladly go back to Romans, to Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ frees you. To many, many people, this is theoretical. They like to talk about it. They like to sing about freedom in the Christian world. They sing about freedom in Christ. They do not live it. It takes boldness to live your freedom. But this is what Christ wants you to do. I've been told that, well, there's a higher law of the Spirit. The Spirit is a higher law. And we are under the, quote, law of the Spirit. It's a figure of speech. Spirit is not a law. But some who say that assume that now the law of Moses is tightened. Now the law of the Spirit means that everything is just like, tightened on you like a knot. And now there's more things you can't do under grace than you could do, than you were allowed to do under the law of Moses. In other words, what these people think is that the law of Moses was tough. But if you're under the law of the Spirit, it's tougher. Because now you can't even think the wrong things, let alone do the wrong things. That is not true at all. The law of the Spirit frees you. It's about freedom, freedom, freedom. Of course, Paul says, don't use your freedom for license. Oh, well, that undoes the freedom. No, it doesn't. That's the temptation you must resist. It does not undo the freedom. It's not a qualification. It's an enlargement. It's another statement altogether. Not even an enlargement. It's another statement. All is allowed me. Complete statement. Period. And I go around saying that. All is allowed me. I'm allowed to do anything I want. How can you say that? Because I'm quoting Scripture. All is allowed me. I'm quoting Scripture. They can't handle it. People cannot handle that. Can't handle it. I can handle it. I say it. I believe it. All is allowed me. And for freedom, Christ frees us. He doesn't free us so that we may now get ourselves into more responsible forms of bondage, more elegant forms of bondage, tighter forms of bondage, as if the Spirit of God would bring us a more miserable life than the law of Moses brought those people in Israel who could not do it. And by the way, no law has ever come to you anyway. We're not under any law to begin with. So, Christ died for this. Christ died so that you could feel good. Everything you experienced is the opposite of what he experienced. He had nails driven into his wrists. You don't have any nails driven into your wrists. He had a crown of thorns smashed on his skull. You don't have that. In fact, your head feels good. You have clear, clean thoughts. It's wonderful, isn't it? He was scourged. You're sitting on your sofa, watching MCTV or at your kitchen table. That's the opposite of being scourged, I would think. Pretty close. Do you think Christ suffered so that you could suffer? I mean, we will come into suffering for the sake of Christ because it's a privilege, but you don't look for it. You don't map your route so as to come into a land of suffering. Are you crazy? I hope not. I'm not. So I recommend doing what Christ would love you to do. After Christ suffered all of that he did, so that you wouldn't have to, enjoy the freedom that he bought for you. For freedom, Christ frees you. Live it. That was pretty good.